Blog Talk Radio.
Move ahead in the word of God, move ahead in your life, and allow God to use you for his glory, not yours, but his. And we say together, not mine, but yours, Lord. Giving God honor, giving God glory, giving God thanks this morning as that he woke me up and started me on my way. We got quite a bit of lesson to get through this morning, and we're going to get started because I got to go to work. Hallelujah. And I want to make sure we get all of our word in this morning. And it is a, so let's get started on this 25th day of January. I can't believe we're already on the 25th day of the month. It just seems like it was yesterday that we were celebrating entering into the new year. Well, it's not. We're on a whole new day and only 6 more days until the end of the month. Wow. So let's get started here. Father God in heaven, I am so grateful that you woke me up this morning, started me on my way, gave me a pep in my step and a praise in my heart. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let this word go forth, Lord God. Let it be your word, not mine. Hallelujah. Father God, I ask you in the name of Christ Jesus, please, Lord, increase as I decrease. Let this word be your word, not mine. Let what comes from my lips be your words, not mine. Open my heart, open my mind. Open my spirit to receive you, Father God. In the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, I pray, lifting up his name and giving you glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being that conduit that allows me to speak to Father God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thanking God in all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for waking me up this morning when I could, then as my pastor said, dead in my bed. But I'm here and I'm grateful and I'm thankful and I know without any doubt in my mind that I am truly blessed to be a child of God. So let's get started. We're going to start in Matthew this morning. Genesis will be our last chapter. We'll start at the New Testament and then go back to the Old Testament today. So in our New Testament word, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 15 through verse 39, if you'd like to write them down. And we're going to also be in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 28. So let's get started. And the word of God says, then Jesus went up from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. And he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did y'all catch that? I don't know. Did y'all catch that? What did Jesus say? I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs from which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And your daughter was healed. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus was not here for the Gentile at that time. He was here for the Israelites, for the Hebrews. He was here for his children, his people, the chosen. That's what he's saying. I'm not here for everybody right now. I'm here for the chosen. I'm here for the chosen. You know, that's why we read our word, because our word kind of gives us a little bit of clarity. But because of this woman who should not even been in the group, because of her faith, this Canaanite woman, because understand, all of them have Canaanite descendancy. You know, they all mixed up because, you know, this one took a wife that was from Canaan, and that one took a wife that was from Canaan way back in the day. You know, Jesus' lineage is Moab. He came from Ruth, who was a Moabite. So, you know, we're not all perfect, and we're not all filled with the same spirit. We got a little bit of this and a little bit of that, which is why we don't need to be all hateful to each other. God is not hateful. He's loving. And again, even in this situation, Jesus healed this woman. He healed her. And that's what we have to have. Unmerited favor comes from above the top faith. And it goes on to say, let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, where can we get enough food, enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? And I'm sure Jesus was thinking to himself, now did we just feed 5,000 plus with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? And you're going to ask me where we're going to get food. Anyway, that's just me talking, not Jesus. And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. So they had 5 loaves, 2 fish, equals 7. Just caught that. And then he's got 7 loaves and some little fish and a few little fish. So let's see what happens. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude that they all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. Then away the multitude got into the boat and came to the region of Magdala. Now understand, that is some favor. 1, 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000. 7 loaves, a few fish, 4,000. And all of them are plus. That's our Savior. He feeds us. He gives us what we need when we need it. He will not allow you to go hungry. He won't. He won't allow you to go hungry. He fills us up with Him. He fills us up with everything we need. All we have to do is have faith, like the woman with the demon-possessed child, and know that even with a few, a little small, a loaf of bread, come on now, let's call it. When you got a loaf of bread, you got a few potatoes, you got an onion, you got some flour, you got a little bit of this and a little bit of that, you can make a meal. You can make a meal out of anything. All you got to do is pray over it, and God will give you what you need and show you how to make it. Come on now. All I know is when I was younger, my husband and I, we didn't have hardly any money. I was a college student. He was new to his job. We lived in an apartment. We wanted a house. We knew we had to save for it, and we didn't have a lot. But I tell you one thing. There's a whole lot you can do with a can of Campbell's soup, whether it's cream of mushroom, cream of chicken, and tomato soup. You can do a whole lot with, you know, so there's no reason, you know, and then get you some rice, get you some potatoes. You can do a whole lot and buy the whole chicken, not the chicken parts, but the whole chicken. You can do a lot with that too. Come on now to the days where you could stretch a meal. You know, we got lax with McDonald's and Burger King and here and there and going out to eat and all of this stuff. And then when COVID hit, folks didn't know what to do because they had to cook. And many of them didn't know how because they've been eating fast food. I bet you there's a whole lot of folks that have lost weight. I know I have. And I'm thankful, thankful, very thankful because I needed to. You know, God will put you on a fast to get you in, get yourself right, get your blood pressure working right, get all your body parts working right. I am thankful. Thank you, Lord. But anyway, let's keep it moving here. Jesus answered and said to her, "Oh woman, great is your faith." That is our life lesson. Only two people in the gospel are said to have great faith, and both of them were Gentiles. The other was a Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8 and 10. Great faith does not depend on background or position, but on the heart. Did you hear that? Great faith does not have to do with background. And then this is what the Bible says about provision. Matthew 15, 29 through 38. The service you do for God may be demanding and draining. You may come to the point where the only thing that can help you is His intervention, because all other resources have been used up. Good. This is the perfect opportunity for God to remind you that He fuels all the ministry that is done in His name. Be encouraged by the testimony of Matthew 15. The people had been on the mountainside with Jesus for 3 days, listening to His word and hoping for healing. Jesus saw that they were tired and hungry and said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." Wow, compassion. His compassion fails not. Great is our faithfulness because of Christ Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 28. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening." Hypocrite, called him outright. The learned could not stand him, because he just spoke truth to power. He'd have no qualms about it. He'd just tell them like it is and like it is, it is. You know, he'd just talk to them, tell them about themselves, and they did not like it. Because you know how we are. We don't always like hearing about ourselves when we know we're not right. And they just trying to catch him up. You know, we're going to catch him up, this little old carpenter, thinking he knows more than we do. We have our degree. Come on now. And then he goes on to say, and he answered them saying, when it is even. Now, let me go down a little bit. Y'all got to look carried away. And then he goes on to tell them, call them hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Oh, come on now. Jesus getting all jiggy with it. And then he goes on to say, an adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And we all understand that's Nineveh. He's talking about Nineveh and Jonah. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you a little faith. Why do you reason amongst yourselves? Because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Now the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We have to beware, as men and women of God, of false doctrine. The Bible is our doctrine. The Bible is what we go by. We have to beware of those that come up, speak that is not in the Word. And that's why you read. That's why we are studying this Word. That's why we do what we do. That's why God gave me this ministry, to speak and read his word. Not something that John and Jane and this one and that one wrote, but what his word says, what he wrote. Because this word is too important for our salvation that we cannot go by what he said, she said, they said. We got to go by this is what the word of God says. And so I pray daily that it sticks in my memory, that when something that's not right comes across my path, I can say, that's not right. That's not God. Because I've read the whole thing more than once. And I'm going to read it again, and we're going to read it again until it sticks. Hallelujah. Because it's too important not to get this word out. And as we continue, it says this, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, whoo, hallelujah, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things. So he was getting them prepared. From the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this will not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it, man, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Hallelujah. What a word. Matthew 16:14, no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Once before, Jesus has spoken of the sign of the prophet Jonah. See Matthew 12:39-41. As Jonah had spent 3 days in the belly of the great fish, so Jesus would spend 3 days in the heart of the earth before his resurrection. So we understand that Jonah had to be given some time. Jesus is given time, 3 days, because that's the prophetic word. And he came to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. He came to fulfill the prophecy spoken of him in the Old Testament. And he fulfilled each and every one. And as we go, Matthew 16:15, who do you say that I am? Jesus has no interest in dispensation. Jesus has no interest in dispassionate, hypothetical views regarding his person and work. He wants to know what you think about him. Who do you say that he is? And I say emphatically, you are the Son of God. You are my Savior. You are my friend. And that's what we have to know, that he is emphatically, he belongs to us. Matthew 16:23, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of things of God, but the things of men. The gentle Jesus could be very stern when he had to be. He knows when to show us compassion, and he knows when we need correction or rebuke. He always gives us what we need, not necessarily what we want. We say amen. And we're going to read our Psalms and Proverbs, because we probably will be ending a little early today because it is sleeting and snowing and I have to go to work. So I pray for you guys to please pray safety and the angels of mercy surround me this morning as I do what God has called me to do, and that is take care of the elderly. So I am grateful for my position and what I do for God. And as we continue, it says that the chief musician of Psalm of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men and see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. All the workers of iniquity know knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord. There they are, the great fear. They are in great fear. For God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Did you hear that? Because there's so many folks out there talking about, oh, I don't think the senators, I don't think we need to give the stimulus money. I think we're giving it to people that don't want to work. Excuse me. As you said in your ivory rich tower, looking down and telling other people who are suffering what they need and don't need. God will hold them accountable. And he will hold them accountable for not doing what's right for their fellow man. If you know somebody's hungry, you give them food. Not talking about, oh, I'll pray for you. We already read that. That's hypocrite. Let's go there. Let's come on. And then as we continue in this word, oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Proverbs 4:20-24. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are light to those who find them and help to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. From out of the spring, the issue of life. But put away you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Again, I like to say, learn to keep your tongue behind your teeth. Sometimes we just get all caught up and just say stuff. And we as Christians, when we act a certain way that is not of God, we embarrass our Father. Just like when kids act up and embarrass their parents. We are embarrassing our Father when we don't do right. So let's keep it moving. And this is the word of God from the book of Genesis. And it says, and Jacob, Genesis chapter 49 through chapter 50, verse 26. If time permits, we will do chapter 50. But if it doesn't, we will do 49 today and do 50 on tomorrow. And it says this, and Jacob called his sons. And said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Because remember, Israel was a prophet, and he wrestled with God. So he had an anointing. And Jacob called his sons. Okay, now. And he said, gather together and hear you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength. The excellence of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, you shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. You know, he's letting all his boys know. Y'all think I didn't know that your brother slept with one of y'all's mama? Y'all think I didn't know what he did? But he told them, unstable as water, you shall not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed and you defiled it. He went up to my couch. He's like, I can't believe he did that. But he's telling everybody, getting all of it out. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man. And in their self-will, they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey coat to the choice vine. Y'all caught that right? I hope y'all did. Ride in on. Just throw it out there. He washed his garment in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. Zebulun shall dwell by the haven of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships, and his border shall adjourn Sidon. Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between two burdens. He saw that rest was good. And that the land was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of slaves. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path. The horse's heel, so that its rider shall fall backwards. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall tromp upon him, but he shall triumph at last. bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dynasties. Now, Fatali is a deer let loose. He uses beautiful words. Joseph is a fruitful barrel by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, by the God your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors upon up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separated from his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night shall devour the spoils. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them. And he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. Then he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mir, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham brought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, and there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heath. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. I believe we're going to get through everything this morning, and I thank God for it. It says, then Jacob fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were required for him, for such are the days required for those who are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. Now when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the hearing of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, behold, I am dying in my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. There you shall bury me. Now, therefore, please let me go up and bury my father, and I will come back. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury your father, and he made you swear, as he made you swear. So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all the house of Joseph, his brothers and his father's house. Only their little ones, their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great gathering. Then they came to the threshing floor of Etad, which is beyond the Jordan, and they mourned there with a great and very solemn lamentation. He observed 7 days of mourning for his father, and when the inhabitants of the land of the Canaanites saw the mourning at the threshing floor at Etad, they said, this is a deep mourning of the Egyptians. Therefore, his name was called Abel-Mezaram, which is beyond the Jordan. The sons did for him just as he had commanded them. The sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mir, which Abraham brought with the land, with the field, from Ephron the Hittite as property for a burial place. And after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who went up with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did. Send messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to him, Do not be afraid, for I am in a place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me. Ooh. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones, and be comforted them, and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knee. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And that is our word for this morning. I thank you all for joining me this morning as we read the word of God. I do have a couple of life lessons and a life question, and then we will be done. And our Genesis lesson is this. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Well, actually, Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. There shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Israel foresaw that the Messiah, Jesus, would come through the line of Judah, and that he would be brought, and he would be bought, both the king and the judge of the whole earth. And he would be both the king and the judge of the whole earth. And again, what did he say to Judah? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine, and his donkey coat to the choice vine. He washed the garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. Wow. And the word for chapter verse 20, life lesson, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. You know, and we know the word, I love, it's a song, I think it's, I can't remember what it's by, but one of the lines is what the devil meant for evil, God meant it for our good. And so we got to understand that God is good. But I love the word that God gave me for this morning is, but what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And it goes, and you know, that was Jesus speaking to the crowd, to his disciples. Summoning the crowd, he told them, listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. That was, we did read, but that was where God had me draw from for our word. You know, that we got to understand that, and I'm going to go back real quick to chapter 15, verses 1 through 20, because I did forget to give those to you this morning. But it tells us this, it says, when the scribes and Pharisees who were with Jesus, we talked about it yesterday, but God told me to go back and put that word for today, even though we read it on yesterday. But we have to understand that this little, everything that comes in, comes out. But everything that comes out can be as deadly as a serpent. This little tongue can do some damage to people's lives. So we have to be very careful what we speak, how we speak, and what we say. Because what the devil means for evil, God will make it for our good. Sometimes God allows us to go through difficult times, even as a result of the wicked actions of others. Yet, wherever we have to endure, no matter how unfair or unjust, we can be sure that God will use it for good. So don't get tired of well-doing family. God is going to use everything that happens in our life for our good. All we have to do is believe and trust in him. And then it says, God, does God bring us adversity? And this is what Dr. Stanley says. He says, the life story of Joseph clearly illustrates that God sometimes grants permission for adversity to enter our lives so that he might accomplish an ultimate good. Jacob didn't try to hide his lopsided love for Joseph, his love, his son by his favorite wife, Rachel. So when Joseph shared two dreams with his brothers, dreams, he, which Joseph took center stage, and his brothers bowed low to serve him, they started looking for a way to destroy him. One day, Joseph's brothers secretly sold him into slavery. Eventually, he wound up as the slave of Pharaoh. Joseph quickly rose to prominence in his new position. But when Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph of rape, the believed young man got tossed into prison. Even there, he rose to a position of leadership when he correctly interpreted the dreams of royal servants. Joseph hoped that his fortunes were about to change, but the man promptly forgot him for 2 long years. Not until Pharaoh himself needed someone to interpret a troubling dream did the man remember Joseph. And that was in Genesis chapter 39 through chapter 40. At the right time, God reversed Joseph's adversity. After Joseph correctly interpreted the dream, Pharaoh put him in charge of the nation's harvest. You know, that's a huge position. Later, Joseph used his new authority as prime minister to help his family through a severe famine. After Jacob's death, Joseph's brother feared that he might try to pay them back. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am. For am I in a place of God? But as you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people's lives." And looking back over his life, even the dark and painful events, Joseph realized that God had been in charge all the time. Nothing had happened to him apart from God's will and divine plan. In the same way, when you belong to the Lord and adversity and any adversity you may experience, remain subject to the Lord's power and grace. He never stops being in charge of your life. He never loses authority over you or over the circumstances that affect you. God is always in control. Therefore, you must realize that on occasion, the Lord permits adversity to enter your life. He uses adversity to fulfill his purposes in you and through you. And that is all I have this morning. Thank you so very much for joining me. For God is good and greatly to be praised. Please keep me in your prayers as I go out into a very slick environment today. But you know what? I know that my Father God has his that will surround my vehicle as I travel the highways and byways to get to where to my destination. Because my destination is for the Lord. So thank you so much, family. Join me tomorrow morning as we are on the 26th day of January, and we will be starting a new book. We will be going into Exodus, which I'm just going to say is one of my third maybe favorite books, because Matthew is my first favorite. And tomorrow we will be in Matthew chapter 18, which I actually preached on yesterday. And again, thank you for your prayers. God used that sermon for some lives to be changed. So I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you all do in your prayers for me, because you know we are always praying for you. And I just thank God for each and every one of you that listen in. Those that listen in live and those that listen in later, I thank God for you, and I ask God's blessings over each and every one of you, that he will surround your home, angels, and that standards will be put up around each of you and your family, your seed, and your seed, and all the way to the next, the fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth generation, if it is God's will. We always say God's will because we are not in charge, as we just found out today. Even in Joseph's words, it was God's will for him to be sold into slavery. It was God's will for him to rise to prominence. It was God's will for him to save many people. So it is God's will. Whatever we do, remember that God is in charge and we are just his servants. Have a blessed day, family. It is on Moving Forward, a wrap. And I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Keep trusting in God and watch him work in your life. He will work in your life. He will take you where you need to go, and he will guide you through all the storms of life. Keep trusting God. Keep believing that he is on the throne and he has your best interest at heart. Thank you again for joining me this morning. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is a wrap, family, because I have got to what? I got to go to work. And I love you. Be blessed.